at 8:46 a.m. on September 11, 2001. American Airlines Flight 11 struck the North Tower of the World Trade Center after being hijacked by five Al-Qaeda terrorists. Almost no one knew what was going on until 17 minutes later, when things began to become a little more clear.
At 9:03 a.m., United Flight 175 struck the South Tower of the World Trade Center after also being hijacked by five Al-Qaeda terrorists. Two more planes crashed in the next hour. At 9:37 a.m., five more terrorists flew American Airlines Flight 77 into the Pentagon. At 10:03 a.m., the final plane crashed in a field in Pennsylvania, southeast of Pittsburgh, claiming all the lives of United Flight 93, including the four hijackers.
Weeks after the attacks, more than 6,000 were estimated to be killed. However, when the deaths were confirmed, the number rested just below 3,000. In the World Trade Center, 2,606 people were confirmed dead, including police and fire officials, EMS and first responders, and 147 people died in the two planes, plus the five hijackers. At the Pentagon, 125 people died, with 59 lives claimed from the flight, plus the five hijackers, and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, 40 people died, plus the four hijackers.
Each year at 8:46 in the morning, America pauses to remember the lives lost on September 11th. I spoke with a few Chapel Hill Carborough locals to discuss that day, what it was like then, and what it means to them now.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day?
I was going to my office, and I had just stopped to get a cup of coffee at Whole Foods, which is right at the edge of Raleigh. I heard something on the radio, which I couldn't quite, you know, I wasn't paying full attention, and it didn't make any sense.
I don't remember exactly, but we were in the office, and the words, you know, we didn't have a television in the office, so words sort of began to dribble in. The main thing was, what do I do with my employees? Do we need to stay together, and or do they need to get home?
At the time, I was a young lawyer, brand new at the job at the Center for Death Penalty Litigation in Durham, and I remember some other people arrived in the office and said that somebody had fired a rocket at one of the World Trade Center towers, and we were all just kind of in disbelief, like, well, that just can't be true.
I was on my way to the law school at North Carolina Central University, where I work. I had stopped by the post office in Durham, and when I got back in the car, I heard on the radio, you know, about the first tower being hit, I guess. Then I came on to school.
I remember hearing Matt Lauer say something about, oh my goodness, what is that?
Okay, I have got to interrupt you right now.
Sorry.
Richard Hack, thank you very much. We appreciate it. The book is called Hughes. We want to go live right now and show you a picture of the World Trade Center, where I understand, do we have it? No, we do not. We have a breaking story, though. We're going to come back with that in just a moment. First, this is Today on NBC.
This just in, you were looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
That was about 8:46, I guess. And at first they thought it was a small plane that had flown off course and hit the tower. And of course, you're just captivated looking at that on TV.
I walked by a television, and there was the picture of the crash. And again, it just sort of made no sense.
As they were showing the fire on the first tower, I remember very vividly standing there watching television and seeing the second plane hit the other tower.
I was in my office. One of the other workers in the office came in and asked if I had heard that a second plane had struck in New York City. And then at that time, of course, just as with everyone, we all realized this was something serious.
And then when we got the news about the plane that crashed in a field in Pennsylvania, I mean, that confirmed that this clearly was a coordinated attack, and it was an attack that obviously had been planned for a long, long time. And I think that's why there was so much willingness to give the government some leeway to try to get to the bottom of this thing.
Then there were more news reports coming out about evacuating the Capitol and other attacks on Washington. And it was, you know, we were all concerned about what was going to happen next. And there was a great sense of helplessness, I think.
It was as if the whole country just was on pause for several days while we tried to kind of sort through the ramifications of what this might mean?
I think the terrorists won because the Patriot Act infringes on so many of our civil liberties. It's threatening our constitutional rights. I think they won in the sense that every time we go through the airport, it's a great struggle. I think they won in the sense that we now have a secret court and secret spying on everybody.
Those pictures are now iconic as you see people falling from the towers or running down the street with that cloud chasing them. And then all of the heroics that we came to learn about after the fact, and the first responders and all of the things they did, you know, that's another clear sign of what we see in any disaster or event of this sort. We see that people rise to the occasion and do extraordinary things.
I remember the pride that I think many Americans felt in those first responders who responded to the crashes in the towers, watching those towers fall and realizing that all those heroes' lives were likely lost, along with thousands of people.
I would say the overall impression was not only horror, but disbelief at what we were seeing and what we were actually hearing. And it just was hard to get our heads around it. And frankly, that's true still to this day.
I think it's a reminder of a tragedy. All of us have people who we are connected with who lost people in the particularly in the Twin Tower catastrophe. It reaches, I think, to many people in the country and to me, that it's a personal kind of thing that you can't think about today without thinking, here's some really good person who was going about his or her business, and many of them, young people, were on their way to a successful career, and it just kind of stopped.
That is probably the boldest and most frightening of events that any of us could really imagine.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day?
That was former Senator Ellie Kinnaird, Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinsmith, Carborough Alderman Member Lydia Lavelle, to Who's Talking on WCHL, D.G. Martin, and local activist Fred Black. We all remember September 11th, and Rand Northam, do you remember what you were doing when it happened?
I remember it like it was yesterday, like it was today. I was in eighth grade. I was in Latin class, and a teacher from across the hall came in. We were at a small... I was at a small private school. We didn't have TV. We didn't have cable in the building. Just radio was how we heard it. And we didn't even hear it. It was a teacher across the hall came across and just whispered into the ear of our teacher that something had happened. And the announcement came out from that teacher saying that we think some of the top floors of the World Trade Center might have been hit. And I right then wasn't thinking, well, what's the World Trade Center? I wasn't thinking the Twin Towers. So I was thinking a, you know, 10, 20-story building, the top floors are hit. And, you know, it was a small plane were the original thoughts. And so, you know, well, this isn't going to be quite the disaster that it was. And I didn't end up seeing images, pictures, video, anything until I got home that day. Of course, we heard of the terrible thing that it was later, but it was just incredible. My dad was an American Airlines pilot, so he knew a couple people on one of the flights, a couple of the flight attendants, and of course, my family members from around the nation at that point were concerned. Luckily, he was home and not flying that day, but it was. I'll never forget that day. Where were you that day?
Well, it was rather unusual circumstances. I was hosting the morning show here on WCHL, also a simulcast on WDNC. Mm-hmm. We're broadcasting live out of the Durham Bulls Athletic Park, and we just happened to have CNN on. We always had the TV monitor on in the studio, as we do here, and it was on CNN. And I saw, shortly after 8:46 when it happened, I saw the image on the CNN screen of that first plane hitting the first tower. And everybody thought at that point that it was some horrible accident. Then it was just a little while later. We were stunned because of the magnitude of the thing, but we thought it was an accident. Then when the other Twin Tower was hit, that's when everybody it became clear that it was not an accident, that it was something that was very well orchestrated, and it was just a horrible thing, and it got worse as the day went on, as we saw more images of the other crashes, and we saw all the just stark, vivid images of people in New York City and people everywhere grieving and, you know, fearing for their lives and the lives of loved ones, and it was just a horrible day, and it will live on in my mind forever. I remember going back on, we went into news at the top of the hour, then I remember going back on live to talk about it, and it was just a horrific day, and I know it's etched in everybody's mind.
Yes, definitely, and you can hear all of those comments again. That's posted on our website, chapelboro.com, and in that you heard Matt Lauer on Today, and then the second clip was a female voice. That was from CNN, so that was likely the exact moment that you saw the first breaking news from CNN that you just alluded to. It was amazing talking to these people that nobody hesitated, and just as neither of us hesitated, I know we talked briefly about it yesterday in preparation of this, but no one hesitates, anyone that was alive that day, hesitates about where they were when it happened and how it happened, and it's ingrained into all of our minds, and I imagine we'll never leave. It's in, I can't remember who I was talking to, maybe Fred Black, and just talking about what it equals in the past, the bombing of Pearl Harbor, where people were when that happened, the assassination of both President Kennedy as well as Martin Luther King, and just all of those moments in history. It is certainly one of the biggest, most memorable, in the most horrible way that can possibly be for many people.
Absolutely. Out of that, there came a newfound respect for firefighters in particular.
Certainly did.
Police officers, all emergency workers like that, but particularly firefighters, because so many of them lost their lives. And we know people right here in Chapel Hill who knew some of those firefighters who lost their lives. And in fact, there were firefighters who came from all over the country to help with all the aftermath of all of that. And, you know, it's something that changes everybody.
Fred Black referenced it when he was talking. He said that, you know, it was amazing and wonderful to see how America steps up in times of disaster. And it always happens. You think of hurricanes and natural disasters as well as things just terrible like this, that we come together in the worst of times, and we really did then. And, you know, it makes you think of just how life really is, and we certainly do remember today those less than 3,000 people that died in these attacks, and you think of all the soldiers that have died since then, the wars that we are in because of, not specifically, always specifically because of these attacks, but there's certainly connections there, and we're in ongoing conflicts, no matter how big or small. There are people, our soldiers, dying almost every day. And we thank them so much for what they do, continue to do, and have done over the years.
And that is one of the major reasons why people do not want to see us get involved in Syria.
Very true.
You know, because, you know, we have this other stuff still going on. Everybody knows the magnitude of all that. And so everybody's fairly adamant about, well, not everybody, I guess, but people very adamant about not getting involved in the same kind of thing all
exactly.
over again.
And a lot of conversation, a lot of deliberation going on right now to make sure, or at least as they say, to make sure that we don't get into the same conflict, into the same situation that we were in years ago. Now, this one is different. I was thinking about it this morning. This one is very different. The Syria situation was not a direct attack on us.
No.
So the immediate strike was not necessarily, you know, so that is, you know, it's, I personally think it's very good that we are taking the time to think this through and make sure that we don't take irrational action and just jump into something that we can't afford or that we can't handle or anything like that.
I don't want to see any more people killed because of it.
So true.
September 11th, 2001. A day that will live on forever. And, you know, you were around back then. You know what you were doing, where you were, who you talked to, all of those sorts of things. And again, we appreciate the comments of Ellie Kinnaird, Mark Kleinschmidt, Lydia Lavelle, D.G. Martin, Fred Black. And we know that what they said pretty much echoes what a lot of people would say if we talk with them about that fateful day. And we'll do this again next hour on WCHL. a special tribute to those whose lives were lost, and a special remembrance of a day that will live on forever.
That's so true.
Thanks very much to you, Rand, for putting all that together. And it helps bring it all home. And I remember after this, there was such a feeling of patriotism and togetherness, everybody on the same page.
That's right.
And we all felt that we were, as Americans, we were together, you know. And I feel like some of that feeling has faded. And
it dwindles over time. It certainly does.
I, you know, don't like to see it do that. I wish we could all remain united. You know,
I think this day every year kind of brings us back together for a moment, but
exactly.
It does dwindle again. And every year, I think you're right, it gets weaker and weaker. But it's days like today that, you know, you've got July 4th and we can celebrate our independence that day. But it's days
sure.
like today when we can come together as Americans and really support one another. And I hope that can continue on despite that tragic day.